What a good God you are, and how worthy of all the praise and the honor and the glory. Praise God. Appreciate the presence of God in the house tonight. I appreciate all the goodness that God is showing us. Thank God for a good praise group and the way they lead us into worship, and the media team and all the ministry teams and groups that are working. We appreciate the people of God tonight. There's nowhere I'd rather be than in the house of God and with the people of God. And tonight, we are a blessed people. So we're turning the corner on this Christmas season, and we are busy with a lot of things. And I trust that you're going to have a fruitful time with family and find a place for ministry. And in all that you do, that you prosper in this season. If you want to sit for just a second, I want to talk to you about a couple of things before we get to the word tonight. Saturday, we're going to have a funeral here for Brother James Williams' brother. And he told me he practically raised that younger brother. And so the whole family is heartbroken, Monty and James and their extended family. So you want to be in prayer with them. We're not engaged on a team level or anything like that on this, but we're just going to open up the house and let them have use of it. They needed a space, and so we're glad to do that. And I don't know if you noticed him or knew him. A few of you met him. A brother named Chris Carmick. He was around here last spring. He and his wife, and then their activity circle took them out on the west side of town, and we didn't see them for a while. And then they ran into some serious problems and were practically homeless, and they were homeless. And so we helped them and gave them a few days of shelter and tried to find Brother Chris a job. I gave him some side work, and beautifully and wonderfully, about 2 weeks ago, he was baptized in Jesus' name and received the Holy Ghost. And he was coming along, and this Sunday, I think he was in church Wednesday night. Sunday morning, he came early for Bible study with Brother Cliff. Then he was in service Sunday morning. And then he was in Bible study again Sunday night. And then he was in service Sunday night. And then Monday morning, I traded texts with him. He was looking for some work, and we had him lined up. Brother Manny got to know him pretty well. Brother Manny went and picked him up. He was his Uber. And Manny was going to go pick him up about 9 o'clock, but he lay down when he found out he wasn't going to work at 7. He lay down again, and he never got up. And his wife found him unresponsive there. And I'll be doing his funeral service this week. But I'm just telling you, folks, you just don't know when you're working with somebody and talking to somebody and walking along with somebody. You don't know how much space there is there between them and forever. And I am so gratified that he came to the house of God and that he went down in the water in Jesus' name and that he got the Holy Ghost. And I'm so glad that we were able to extend a hand of kindness to him in those days. But I want to encourage you to always see beyond the busy activity and try to connect with folks, because you just don't know what their life is like and what they're going through and how long they have here. So we want to give them our very best shot. And a number of you went by and prayed with him and spent some time with him while he was on the pew back there. This coming Sunday PM, we're going to have some nice music with the praise team, and the youth choir is going to sing, and we're going to have a communion service. And so we won't go full bore and do foot washing or anything this Sunday night, but we're going to do a communion service. And I just want to encourage you. I want to give you a heads up about that, because you want to take some time and make sure that you get yourself right with God. You don't want to eat or drink of this unworthily, but you want to participate in it. And don't stay away. Just go find yourself an altar and get yourself right. If you're harboring bad attitudes about somebody, get that right. And if you've wrecked a relationship or something, get that right. And if you've got your life involved in some things that are not like God, get that right. And then we can take communion, but Paul encourages us not to be involved in this if we haven't gotten ourselves squared away with God. And all it takes is a moment of prayer. All it takes is a full-hearted repentance before God. And so Sunday night, we're going to be looking at that. And then afterwards, we're going to have some fellowship. The adults in the small kitchen and the young people in the coffee shop over here. And what I'd ask you to do is, if you're an adult, bring your favorite Christmas dessert. Sister Shirley said, just bring Aunt Sally's, whatever it is. So if you have a favorite Christmas dish or dessert, bring it. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to do that kind of food. Light refreshments afterward. I don't know, Aunt Sally may make a real heavy whatever it is she makes, but bring that. And if you're a young person, bring your favorite dessert and get a hold of Sister Kara. Let Sister Shirley and Sister Kara know by Friday what you're bringing so that we make sure we have enough and that we have good planning on that, okay? So look at your neighbor and tell them, bring your favorite dessert. And then let Sister Shirley or Sister Karen know what you're bringing by Friday. All right. So, does that sound interesting, Brother Ben? It does. And by the way, thank you, whoever you are, that has already started bringing cakes and cookies to our good Officer Garner, who's watching over us out at the gate every night or evening service now. He told me, he said, someone brought me a cake, and it was phenomenal. And then he said, somebody brought me cookies tonight. Kayla and Ashley brought him a nice coffee out of the coffee shop. So he's watching you, and he's interested in you, and I'm interested in him. And so we'll see, because we wander around in and out of people's lives all the time, but God is directing a lot of this, and God is ordering a lot of this, and somebody's going to bump into the kingdom of God through an interesting connection, and they're going to come and live for God. Somebody say praise the Lord. And I know you may be just devastated that we've canceled that Sunday morning service after Christmas, but chin up, we'll have church again sometime. But it just looked untenable. And this is not Melody's fault or anybody else's fault. This is my fault, because we, from a year away, it looked like it was doable. The closer we get to it, the less doable it looks. Because your kids are going to be up and people are going to be charged up on sugar and toxed out with banana pudding. And getting up early on that Sunday morning and coming to the house of God is going to be a real deal. So enjoy your family and enjoy your Christmas, and we'll do it again. We'll have church again. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right, clap your hands, lift your voice, magnify God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Could you love him with all your heart? Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Almighty God, you're so good to us. We praise you. We worship you. We lift you up, oh God. We magnify you. How awesome is our God. How wonderful is our God. We bless your name, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Praise God. So it is so excellent to be in the Lord's house tonight. Now, tonight we're going to make our way. Haven't we been having some wonderful preaching around here? Sunday night with Brother Urban. And Sunday morning with Brother Collins. And I just appreciate the good depth of the word. I mean, that's good preaching. I don't care who you are or where you're from. It's just good word. Somebody ought to say amen. All right. Tonight, 1 Kings chapter 14. And we'll read 25 through 27. And it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. And he even took away all And he took away the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen or bronze shields and committed them unto the hands of the chief of the guard which kept the door of the king's house. Praise God. If you love his word as you're seated tonight, let's give God praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God. We thank you, Lord God. We lift you up and magnify you. You're a good God and worthy to be praised. We magnify you tonight. Praise God. So what we want to talk about tonight is just the constant need to hold on to the blessings of God. And it's the progress you're making or the actualization you're making, the development you're experiencing, the effect of the kingdom of God in your natural life, in your familial life, your relational life, in your vocational life. Every part of your life is blessed when you come to God. Is there a witness in the house about that? God wants you to come to him, mind, body, and spirit, and all of those parts of you belong to God, and God positively affects everything that we do. Is there a witness? Is somebody able to say, God has blessed me in everything I've laid my hands to, and it's all God? Well, so as God blesses us, it is inevitable that we see the record, the historical record of the Word of God. And Israel has a terrible time holding on to their status as the people of God. They have a terrible time being what God's called them to be, the light of the world and a testimony and a witness to the world around them. They have a hard time holding up the banner of the kingdom of God. And they consequently are blessed because that's unstoppable and that's immovable, but they continually lose the blessing of God. And it is the cyclical history of the judges, and it is for all the thousands of years of the diaspora and all of the things that we see about them in the Word of God. So the blessing of God is associated with obedience. You go back to the garden and the status in the garden and the liberty in the garden and the emergence of the curse thereafter is associated with obedience or disobedience. And so it goes all the way back. Deuteronomy chapter 28, the first third of that chapter is about the blessings associated with obedience to the Word of God. The second two-thirds of that chapter is devoted to the curses that are associated with disobedience. So the blessing of God is associated with obedience to the Word of God. Here's God reasoning with Cain. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Now, that's a rhetorical question to Cain because God already knows the answer, and God wants to awaken that realization in the man Cain, who has not responded obediently to the command of God for a sacrifice. And he goes further, if you don't do well, sin is at your door. And his desire shall be unto thee, and thou shalt rule over him. Paul says it this way, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so our behavior, our response, our obedience has to do with what we reap in the natural world and in the kingdom of God. And then the psalmist he enlarges on this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And he brings forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Everybody say, whatsoever he doeth. If you're obedient, whatsoever you do will prosper. Now, all of that is true, and that is Bible. It is conditioned by the existential framing. It is conditioned by the fact that we're still in a fallen world and we're still in a fallen body, and that at some point you're going to get sick, some point you're going to get old, some point you're going to die, and you will run into things that will break your heart and challenge your faith all along the existential journey. But in an overarching relational dynamic with the kingdom of God, what you sow determines what you reap, and obedience brings forth the blessing of God. Now, that's the truth. And it is very true that bad things happen to good people, and bad things happen to covenant people. But we stand in the middle of our valley, and we lift up our eyes, and we might say, I don't understand it. I don't know where it came from. I'm doing everything I know to do. And in because of that, I trust God. I yield my life to God. So God's going to take you to some places where that's going to be your prayer. But I would have to say tonight, looking back on a lifetime of walking this, that the Word of God works. What would you say? The Word of God works. And when it's implemented, the blessings of God are organic. The kingdom of God comes forth. It is conditioned by the existential, but the kingdom of God yet comes forth. So, and you might say, well, I don't want to play this game because there's still a downside, and it doesn't, and we don't hit perfection here, and this is not happily ever after. But I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, this is the best it gets in the existential. This is the best life you can live in the world, and the journey through the world that we're on our way in. And you just got to know, you can turn away and you can walk away, because God didn't give you everything you wanted, and maybe you walked through a place where you got hurt, and there's no explanation for it on this side of heaven. But I'll just tell you, I'm going to reserve until I get before the throne of God. And I'm going to wait on Him, because He's good. He does everything well. He never makes mistakes. And He's been good to me. Let's give Him a little bit of praise. And I would add to you that no principality or power can steal your blessing. There's nothing in heaven or in the earth or under the earth that has the power to steal your blessing or overrule the blessing of God in your life. But you can give it away. You can retreat from it, or you can sow other things that grow up in the garden of God's potential in your life. And you bring that seed in from another source, and you plant it in your garden, and it's going to grow, and it's going to bring up things that aren't good and you don't like. So surrendering God's blessing is what Israel did over and over again. Sin is a surrender. Sin is a yielding. Adam and Eve yield to an alternative to the Word of God. They yield to the temptation of the enemy. And in our text tonight, Solomon has been doing things he shouldn't do. He marries Pharaoh's daughter. He brings a pagan into his life. He brings the king of sin and bondage, his daughter, into his life and into the kingdom of God. So now in our reading, the king of sin and bondage, Pharaoh, Shishak, comes down a generation after Solomon to take away the treasure, the blessing of God, because sin will always demand a price. Now, judgment may fall like a stone on you right now, but it may take its sweet time. And you may be standing in the middle of the blessing and sinning and saying, hey, nothing's happening. It's not costing me right now. I'm sinning, and I'm doing it with apparent impunity. And you'd be making a mistake. But because God doesn't strike you right now doesn't mean that it's not moving in your body and in your life and in your home and in your family. It's going to come up. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. And so sin always demands a price. And so Solomon brings in pagan wives one after the other. He brings in their pagan gods. He builds temples and altars for those pagan worshipers. And so judgment comes upon Israel and Judah, but it comes downstream from Solomon. It's already moving and it's already active, but it's not manifesting until Rehoboam. And generationally, they begin to lose things because of Solomon's behavior, and they perpetuate that behavior, but they begin to lose things, and as they begin to lose things, they learn to live with less. They learn to live without the robust blessing of God in their lives. So it's an indication, this conversation, it's an indication of where your heart is, and you know how it is. Where your heart is, there's where your treasure is, and vice versa. Where your treasure is, there's where your heart is. And so here's the context of this. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah an Ammonitess. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed, above all that their fathers had done. So there was this sin generations before, and now it's flowing downstream, and it's exacting a price. For they also built high places and images and groves on every hill, under every green tree, and there were sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And so the seeds were sown and the actions were set in motion, and there is catastrophe coming and looming over Solomon's children. And so I want to suggest to you that there are multitude of reasons why you want to be right and you want to do right and you want to be obedient, because you do really want the blessing of God in your life, and God's ways are the best ways, and you won't be able to actualize the calling and the potential of God in your life without that relationship of obedience. But even more than that, if you're a person with any sense about you at all, you really want to be right with God for your children's sake. You want to be right with God for another generation's sake, because you don't want to be the one that sets something in motion that it becomes a whirlwind for your children or your grandchildren. And that should be a very sobering thought in your life. So don't be a Solomon that sets things in motion, and don't be a Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king. He gets a good report, and God speaks well of him, and it's time for him to die, but he doesn't die with dignity. He balls up in his bed and he cries before God, and God sees him and has mercy on him and gives him another 15 years. But during, he should have died. But during that 15-year period, he gets sick, and the king of Babylon sends an emissary and a group down with a gift for him. And while they're there, they visit in the kingdom. And when they're gone, Isaiah, who is the prophet of God during Hezekiah's reign, Isaiah comes and says, "Who are these men?" And he said, "Well, they're from Babylon. They brought me a gift. They were very nice to me." He said, "What did you show them?" "Why, I brought them in. I showed them all our treasures. I showed them all the treasures in the house of God, and I showed them all the treasures in my house." And Isaiah said, "Those folks are coming back, and they're coming back to get all your treasures. You got to be really, really careful about what you invite into your life and into your home and into your family and into your church house. And you got to be really careful about what you bring into the house to show your treasures to. You need to have some really well-defined lines about how you make yourself vulnerable to those influences that want to steal the treasures and the blessings of God from your life." Somebody say praise the Lord. And you can make a mistake, and you can have empathy for someone, but don't let your empathy be or loom larger than your devotion to the Word of God. And don't let your compassion loom larger than your devotion to the Word of God.
God. And don't let some false sense of your messiahship loom larger. You've got to hear me tonight. You don't want to just bring anybody in to your circle that God has blessed. There are some predatory spirits. There are some predatory spirits. And there will be days, I'm just telling you, there will be days when we will walk into this church house and we will be so excited that a visitor is here or a backslider is back. We'll be gracious and we'll be kind and we'll be welcoming. But there'll be another day when the visitor will come or a backslider will come back and we'll walk up to them and we'll say, "You can't be here like this. You can't come like this. You know too much. You can't come in the house like this. You got to go until you get serious about living for God." Somebody say praise the Lord. There's going to be a day when we talk to somebody that way. And you've got to understand me when that day comes that we're not bringing some predatory spirit in to walk up and down in our treasure house. Anybody can come to God, and everybody is welcome.
There's going to be some that come, wolves among you, and we're just going to tell them, "You got to go down the road. You got to make your way on out. And when you get yourself in a position where you're ready to live for God, come talk. And we'll meet you in the altar." Somebody say, praise the Lord. Clap your hands to him. Lift up a voice. Praise to him.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all is in thy house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon, and nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." I want you to understand, it matters who we let on our platform. It matters who we let teach our children in Sunday school. It matters who we let stand in a place of authority or ministry or leadership. And we are not prepared to just welcome anything and anybody in to the house and let them handle our treasures. No, you ought to say amen. You've got to get on board with that. We live in a day that's full of predatory demonic spirits, and they like nothing better than to corrupt the next generation of apostolics and turn out the light in the house of God. But I'm going to tell you, not on our watch. It's not going to happen. We're going to pray until they feel terrible when they walk in the house. We're going to fast until God walks with us and helps us in this. We're going to worship until they have to split like Saul's demon split. And that was the prophecy of Isaiah. And then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, "Oh, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken." And he said, "Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days?" He said, "Isaiah, I don't care what comes after I'm gone. I don't care what happens to the house of God. I don't care what happens to the people of God as long as I don't have to deal with it." And that kind of attitude will let you invite things into your house that'll change the destiny of your children. And that kind of attitude will bring trouble like you can't even begin to measure into your family and into your church family. And you don't want to be a Solomon, but you don't want to be a Hezekiah either. If it's time to die, well, stand up and die. Be a man, be a woman, embrace that thing, and go on your way. But if God gives you a little extra time, don't use it for foolishness. And don't measure the catastrophe that's coming by the fact that it won't be on your watch. And so Hezekiah walks in total disregard for the generation that is to come. I'm telling you, everything we do here, We do it for those that are alive. We do it for those that have gone before. Sometimes I reminisce about these brothers and sisters that used to walk these aisles and sit in these pews and have been with us since the storefront, and then in the next building and in the next building and in the next season and all of that. And I think about those that have gone before, and we owe them a debt. We really do owe them a debt. And we owe a debt to everybody that's on the pew right now. But I tell you who we owe the greatest debt to, and that is to a generation that is yet unborn. Jesus died for generations unborn. Psalms 22 is about a generation that shall be born. I want you to know there's a revival coming. I don't know if we'll live to see it. I don't know how it'll be configured, but I want you to know that God has something coming, and we don't need to let it be spoiled on our watch. We don't need to bring things in, attitudes in, and behaviors in, and allowances in that are going to corrupt those things that God has planned. I'll tell you, I want you to pray. I don't know exactly what is going on, but Monday night, I'm in a Bible study with a Honduran family. They've got six kids. All six of those kids were lined up on the couch. Sister Paula is translating that Bible study, and you can feel the knitting of the heart. I don't know what God's going to do there. After that, we go down into East Lake, and there's another Honduran family, and we've got Sister Xenia's translating that one, and I don't know what's going on there, but last night in that office, there was a birthday party. Happy birthday, Sister Xenia, if you're here. There was a birthday party in there, and the house was full of Latinos. And man, they brought food. Goodness gracious. And it was good. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I do know this. There are probably 30 million new arrivals in the Southeast United States, and there is a burgeoning revival there. There is an untapped revival there, and we need to be the people that tap into that. And I don't mind being a minority. I said, I don't mind being a minority, because when I come in the house of God, we're all one people with one name and one blood and one spirit and one truth and one word. Somebody say amen. We're all one family, the family of God. And so you might want to start brushing up on your Spanish. I don't know what's happening, but I do know that Bible studies have always been out on the edge of almost everything that's happened in this church. And it's happening in Bible studies right now. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right. So after the days of Solomon, Shishak takes away the treasures of the house of God. And he took away all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took away all. And he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields, and committed them into the hands of the chief of the guard, which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so, when the king went into the house of the Lord, that the guard bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber. They revisited the ceremony. They acted just like they had the shields of gold, but they weren't the shields of gold anymore. The shields of gold were down in Egypt. They were forfeited because of bad behavior and disobedience and carelessness with the things of God. And Rehoboam was like, well, if we can't have those, we'll just do something else. You hear me. Listen, there is nothing else. There is only one gospel. There is only one word. There is only one name. There is only one Holy Ghost. There is only one apostolic experience. There is only one way to get to God, and that's with holiness of lifestyle. Something else won't do. There are people with brass shields all over this city. They've got shields of tin and shields of cardboard and shields of brass, but that won't do. And you don't ever need to have a mindset. Rehoboam said, oh, Shishak came and there's nothing I can do. Shishak came and he took the gold, and so we'll have to have a substitute for the gold. And it never occurred to him that there are some things worth fighting for, and there are some things worth dying for, and there are some things worth standing for. And that was the case on that day. Rehoboam should have stood up and said, no, you might be Egypt and you might be big and bad, but I read a story. My great granddaddy, he ran down into a valley of battle, and with a stone he took down a fierce giant. I want you to know, if God be with us, who can stand against us? This is not a day to have imitation. This is not a day to have some cheap substitute. You want the real deal. You want to be able to walk into a brush arbor in 1915 and they recognize the spirit that's on you. You want to be able to walk down the streets of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago and feel the same presence there that you feel in the house of God. It won't work without worship. It won't work without praise. It won't work without prayer. It won't work without repentance. It won't work without an altar. Somebody give God a little praise right now. No imitations, no substitutes. If there's bad behavior and it costs somebody their experience, don't you for a minute think we can just live without it. I was raised in the land of live without it. I was raised in a church where nobody lifted their hands. Nobody lifted their voice. The preacher didn't preach the Acts 2:38 message. There was no holiness of lifestyle. There was no difference between the ones that sat on those pews and the ones that I ran with in the street. I want you to know that's happening all around you. God forbid, let it be far from us that it be said of us in a generation to come, they used to have the fire. They used to have the anointing. They used to have a word. But now they're just a vague resemblance of what they used to be. I want you to know a substitute won't do. God's not coming back for a weak, shallow, thin and skinny, anemic church. God's coming back for a robust church full of glory. God's coming back for a victorious church. God's coming back for a revival church. God's coming back for an Acts chapter 2 church. God's coming back for an apostolic church. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Put your neighbor a little bit and say no substitutes. Tell them no imitations. Listen, only the real thing's going to do. And the real thing is that apostolic thing that's been going on for 2,000 years in the church of the living God. I just want you to know there's some people that are very articulate, but they're an imitation. There are some folks that have all of the physical and the oratory. They have all of the gestures, and they have all of the money, and they can bring forth what looks like church today. But I'm telling you, if we had to have this in a barn somewhere, I'd rather have the real thing in a barn or in a brush arbor than have it in a palace. I want you to know, nothing else will do but what God recognizes as real. So you don't want to surrender the blessing of God, and you don't want to give up the blessing of God, and you don't want to sin so that you lose the blessing of God, but you want to walk in obedience so that God can continually pour out the blessing. And whether it's in your family life or in your vocational life or in the actualization of the great vast potential of God that God's placed in you, you want to walk in such a way that God is not ashamed to be called your God, that he can pour out blessing after blessing on you, and you are positioned to be conduit of the blessing of God to your world. Somebody say praise the Lord. So Shishak took the golden candlestick. He took the brazen altar. He took everything out of the temple, but it wasn't just a candlestick, friend. That was vision. He took the vision of the house of God away. I want you to know, without vision, the people perish. They wander aimlessly. You don't have anything to aim for. You don't have any sense of what is highest in value. You can't make any progress. You just kind of wander from this shiny thing to that shiny thing. You got to have the vision of God. That's what I'm talking about. This is a story about a man, a king that came down and took physical items out of the house of God. But it's more than that. It's bigger than that. The devil will come. The season of reaping will come, and you'll lose your vision, and you'll be wandering in circles, wondering, what happened to me? I used to know what I was about and where I was going, and I could see God and I could feel God. But he'll come and he'll steal your vision. And he stole the table of showbread, all the gold that was there. And the table of showbread is the word of God. And you get to playing with this, and you get careless about this, and you start walking in things that are not like God, and you'll lose your relationship with the word of God. And the word of God is everything. Everything in the kingdom works by the word of God. And he took the altar of incense, and that's prayer, and that's praise. And I've been in some dead Pentecostal churches. I've been in some dead, so named apostolic churches. I've been in some, and it was like preaching against a concrete wall. It was like there's something in this place that fights against the word of God. I mean, it's like you're just here, and you're just crying out the word of God, but it's not penetrating, and it's not moving because they've lost something. Shishak's been to their place, and he's taken the word of God out of their hearts and out of their conversation, and all they want to talk about is what's on television and what's on this movie and what's on that, and this football team and that basketball team and this sports star and that political event and this. That's all they want to talk about. But God, give me a people that when I find you on the street or at the workplace or in the house of God, and one of the first things out of your mouth is, let me tell you what God's doing. Let me tell you what the word of God is. Let me show you what I found in the word of God. And you're not ashamed to talk about the things of God, and you're not ashamed to have an experience in the word of God. I was raised in a church where nobody worshiped. And Shishak had been there, and he stole their altar of incense. And there was no praise, and there was no worship. And I just tell you tonight, I'd rather be in a bar room than in a house with no praise. I'd rather be in a bar, and I've been in both of them. I've been in both of them, and I'd rather be back in the bar room than in a house where nobody praised God and nobody preached with the preacher and nobody stood to their feet and nobody said amen. I'd rather be in a bar room. You say, how can you say that? Isn't a little bit better than nothing? No! Brass shields won't do. God's given us gold. And he took the Ark of the Testament, Brother Warren. He took the mercy seat. And God said, that's where I'm going to meet you. I'm going to meet you between the cherubims. My presence is going to be here. And this is where we're going to commune. I've been in churches. I was raised in a church where you couldn't find the Spirit of God with a searchlight. You couldn't find the presence of God. You couldn't feel the presence of God. I can hear David when he said, take not thine Holy Spirit from me. He said, in your presence is fullness of joy. I want you to know you don't want to lose. We've got a good move of God in this church, and we get a continual presence of God and a manifestation of the presence of God. And you can feel the moving of the Spirit of God in here anytime you'll open up your heart. I was in one of those Latino houses the other night, and they wanted me to anoint the house with oil. And I'm not a professional at anointing houses with oil. I've done it a few times, but I don't know a lot about it. But I just started doing it. And when I walked to the front door, and I put my hand on that door jamb, and I smeared oil across the lintel and on the jamb, I felt as much Holy Ghost as I've ever felt anywhere, anytime. And I don't know what God's doing there, But I'm just telling you, I don't want to walk without his presence. I don't want to go a day without feeling the presence of God. And you tell me, well, it's been a while since I felt the presence of God. Well, how long has it been since you pressed in until you felt the presence of God? You're waiting on God to come to you. Some days you got to press your way in. Unto John were the law, Moses, and the prophets. But now the gospel is preached. The kingdom is here. And every man presses into it. You got to press into this. You press in, you'll find him. You seek him, you'll find him. You knock, he'll open it. You cry out, God will come. Is there a witness in this house? Is there... Don't you sit here tonight and say, well, I can't feel his presence. And I guess I could just go on and I guess God's just done with me. You get up. I'm telling you, the brass shield won't do. An imitation won't do. Less than won't do. You got to have what God has made available. Somebody say praise the Lord. Shake your neighbor and say, I want it all. I want everything God has for me. Shake them and say, I want the real. I don't want an imitation. Come on, is there a young lady in the house that wants real worship, real word, real apostolic movement, real revival? Is there a young man in the house that says, I don't know what my daddies did, but I know we need revival in my day? You know there are more people dying from opioid overdose than from COVID. There are more people in Australia dead from suicide by their own hand than from COVID. Beat the COVID drum. I don't have an axe to grind with you. I don't even want to have a conversation with you about that. COVID's real. A lot of things are real. But people are taking their own lives. People are dying of opioid overdose. They're buying junk on the street that's laced with fentanyl, and they're dying. And they're dying in numbers that the news won't report. But I'm just telling you, and it's because the border is wide open. And it's because China is manufacturing it and shipping it in because they want to gut the United States. I just want to tell you, all that's going on, that's not a political statement. That's just a statement of fact. Those things are happening. Now, I don't know. It's not my job to fix China, and it's not my job to fix the border, and it's not my job to fix the political arena, and it's not my job to eradicate viruses in our culture, but it's my job to pray until something happens. It's my job to shout until the walls come down. It's my job to preach until the bones come together. And the dead rise up, and God fills them with his spirit. Somebody say praise the Lord. All let's clap our hands. Come help me, Sam. Praise God. They've lost the meeting place with God. Those gold shields are the least of their worries. But they think they can have an artificial, a substitute, an imitation. But there won't, nothing will do except the real apostolic, biblical, heavenly, kingdom truth. That's the only thing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm going to quit. This is too big and too long to continue. Praise God. Can we gather down around this altar tonight? If you're hungry for the real, would you just come and just go ahead and start talking to God? Don't wait for me. If it's been a while since you felt the kingdom of God, press in till you feel it. If something else is replacing the word of God in your life, lay that something else on the altar. If you're spending more time with social media than you are with the things of God, you need to get rid of that junk. If you're hooked on movies, you need to get rid of that. Get that out of your life.
If you're fellowshipping with pornography, you need to get that out. And let me tell you something. You may not be on a porn site. You may be on Netflix. Not Netflix. What is that? Instagram. You may be on Instagram, and you're scrolling through, and friend of mine, they're salting that with all kinds of things that are designed to catch your attention, young man, and pull you in to a relationship. And I don't know how deep those holes are because I haven't stepped off into them. I'm just telling you, you need to close that phone, get rid of it, get a flip phone, whatever you need to do, but find yourself the Word of God, a place of prayer, a ministry in your life, a place where you can pour out. You know how you keep the blessing of God coming? You give it away. You know how you keep the blessing of God raining down on your life? When it comes to you, you give it away to somebody else. If you become a dead sea, you're not any good to yourself or anybody else. But if you'll become a conduit for the blessing, instead of forgetting God, God will hook up with you and it'll be nonstop. All the days of your life, it'll be nonstop. Blessing and you're touching somebody else. Blessing and revelation and you're telling somebody else. Anointing and blessing and you're strengthening somebody else. And that's what this is about. Let's go ahead, press in. Lift up your voice, lift your hands. Somebody cry out. Somebody seek after the presence of God.
All together worthy, all together wonderful to me.
Here